ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः कर्मसन्न्यासयोगो नाम पञ्चमोऽध्यायः द फोर्थ् एण्ड् फिफ्थ् यु नो वेरि क्लोस् फोर्थ् चाप्टर् इस् ज्ञानकर्मसन्न्यासयोगः फिफ्त् चाप्टर् इस् कर्मसन्न्यासयोगः वि आर् कवर्ड् बिकास् टू क्लासस् वि मिस्ड् वन् क्लास् लास्ट् क्लास् वि मिस्ड्
Swamini, which book are we following? Whose version are we following?
No, we are not following anybody's version. I'm just unfolding Gita verses in keeping with Adi Shankara's commentary okay. without reading out the commentary.
Okay, Swamini.
Yeah, so just you have to have the textbook to follow the verses.
No.
We are doing the fifth chapter.
Okay.
Number of verse, the verse number
17.
Yeah, 17. See, the difference is see, in fourth chapter Bhagavan Krishna, even though he mainly explained what is renunciation through knowledge, he also explained the two disciplines, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, as two different disciplines to be followed by every individual sequentially, ultimately for the attainment of knowledge. But here in the fifth chapter, Bhagavan explains how Karma Yoga as a discipline to be followed by a householder. And then he also says the householder's life between the two lifestyles, committed lifestyles, between Sannyasa and Karma Yoga, even though sannyasa is a life, one has to go through sannyasa mentally at one stage. He emphasizes the importance of karma yoga, living a life of a grihastha here. And we have seen grihastha jnani is glorified from verse number 13. And every verse is highly revealing verse, very profound verse. And we have covered 16 verses, 17th verse also we have seen. Let me read the 17th verse and we'll continue with this. Tad buddhayas tadatmanaha tannishtas tad parayanaha gacchantya punaravrittim Jnana Nirdhuta Kalmashaha. So Tad Buddhayaha, Tad Atmanaha, Tad Nishtaha, Tad Parayanaha. Tad. The word Tad implies what? There's a Tad is common third person singular pronoun. Tad is there in every word. Tad stands for the absolute reality, the ultimate truth of the entire universe, the truth obtaining as the truth of every being, every individual, everything. And that truth is Atma, the truth is Brahma. The truth is the truth of Ishvara, Bhagavan Swarupam. So, Tad Buddhayaha, the people. Buddhihi in this context means knowledge. The person of knowledge of that reality is called Tad Buddhihi. The one who is endowed with the clear vision of the truth is called Tadbuddhihi. And Tadbuddhayaha, plural word. Those people who are endowed with the clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the reality, Brahman as the very self, are said to be Tadbuddhayaha. Tad Atmanaha. People for whom that reality is not an object, but it's the very self. The reality of the whole universe is not an object, it's the very truth of I, Atma. They are said to be Tadatmanaha. So Tad Buddhayaha, Tadatmanaha. Then Tan Nishtaha. Nishtaha means what? And people who cannot lose sight of their vision of the reality, who cannot lose sight of the reality, who are always reveling in the vision, who always established in the truth. No, for whom doubtlessly I am the truth. Such people are said to be Tannishtaha. Nishtaha means those who are steadfast in their vision. Tannishtaha, same meaning. Tad Buddhayaha, Tad Atmanaha, Tannishtaha, then Tad Parayanaha. It is possible for them to become Tad Buddhayaha. People are, how did they become the people of a clear vision of the truth? How did they become Tad Buddhayaha, Tad Atmanaha, Tannishtaha? Because Tad Parayanaha, they had that Brahman as the ultimate goal. So people had that attainment of knowledge of Brahman was their ultimate goal. That was their absolute priority, ultimate priority. Therefore, they were able to become Tad Buddhayaha, Tad Atmanaha, Tannishtaha. And such people alone, because of the vision, because of the perspective change, the vision resulted in perspective change, and a perspective change, because the perspective change, what happened? They become free from all impurities. Jnana Nirdhuta Kalmashaha. Jnana Nirdhuta Kalmashaha. So Jnanena Kalmashaha Nirdhutaha Yesham Te Jnana Nirdhuta Kalmashaha. See, they did not rub and then throw away get rid of the impurities. They did not do anything. When the perspective change has happened, all the impurities, all the sins got washed off. You don't need to do anything. Aham, I am body, mind and complex. From there, Aham Atma, Aham Brahma Asmi. Just by the cognitive shift, because they can see the perspective change has happened. Now they're free from all the impurities. That's why Jnanena Nirdhuta Kalmashaha. They are free from, they got all their impurities removed. How? What did they do for that? Nothing. They only attained Jnanam. Jnanena. Through knowledge, they got all their impurities washed off, destroyed. Nirdhuta Kalmashaha. Such people, Jnanirdhuta Kalmashaha, Apunaravrittim Gacchanti. Apunaravrittim Gacchanti. What does it mean? Punaravrittim. Punaravrittihi means returning. Coming again is called Punaravrittihi. Punaha means again. Avrittihi means returning. Repeating. Repeated arrival is called Punaravrittihi. Not repeating means not returning, not being born again, is called apunaravrittihi. Apunaravrittihi. So apunaravrittim gacchanti means what? They attain videha muktihi. Such people of vision, when the parabdha gets exhausted, when they leave the physical body, they will not come back. What does it mean? The mind will not be there for such jnanis. Mind will resolve for good. If the mind survives, mind will come back, assuming another body. Mind, how long mind can survive? That is why mind cannot be destroyed at all by anybody. Mind has to resolve by itself. It will happen only in jnanam. You know, mind cannot be destroyed. Physical body, even any committed, people commit a suicide or homicide. In all this destruction, killing and bombing and all those things, physical forms can be destroyed. But the mind, subtle, cannot be destroyed at all. Mind will come back again and again and again and again and again. With all paradha, with all stored, collected, accumulated samskaras, accumulated vasanas, all come back again and again and again. Pick up the thread wherever we live. Whatever strong samskaras are there, accordingly, the rebirth also will be there. But this person got all their impurities. That is why we do not need to do anything. If we have to go and get all our papams washed off, it will never happen. Total eradicate, total removal of punya papams be impossible for people. It only in jnanam, when your perspective change happens, you are absolutely free from all impurities. So such wise people, jnana nirdhuta kalmashaha apunaravrittim gacchanti. For them, mind will not survive, mind cannot survive, mind will resolve by itself. Therefore, they will not come back. Therefore, it's called videha muktihi. They attain liberation for good. Okay, we'll go to the new verse. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shuni chaivashvapake cha pandita samadarshinaha. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shuni chaivashvapake cha pandita samadarshinaha. Now, panditaha samadarshinaha. Panditaha samadarshinaha. Samam pasyanti iti samadarshinaha. Panditaha, panda means jnanam. I told you this many times in Gita class. Panda means jnanam. Panditaha is a jnani, wise person. Who is the wise person according to Shastra? The wise person is the one who is endowed with a spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom, one who has the clear doubt-free vision of the truth of the whole universe obtaining as one's own self. For whom the truth is the very self. Such a person in whose vision the truth of one's own self is the truth of everything. The truth of all that is there is only the truth. Once a clear vision of the truth is there, then that person can see to everything being the truth. Everything is essentially the truth. There's nothing which is not the truth there. Beyond the forms, beyond the names, beyond the functions, beyond the positions, beyond the everything, forms, names and functions, your person has to see everything is Brahma. All that is there is only Brahma. And how is that Brahma? Without any difference, it in and through, only reality is there as the truth of everything, equally the same. He is Brahma. No, that is Brahma. And such a person who has the clear vision of the reality is panditaha. So here the word, plural word is used, panditaha samadarshinaha. They see everything as one and the same. All are not equal, but all are one. The one who sees all as one. All as one and the same reality. even though all are not relatively equal, all are essentially one. And he says, why? Because that's a fact. He said, Vidya Vinaya Sam, he sees that only truth equally in everything. In what? He says, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne. Vidya Vinaya Sampannaha. See, Vidya Sampannaha means one who is endowed with the knowledge, one who is highly learned. Here, the wise person is distinguished from a person of scholarship. So, Vidya Sampannaha means one who is endowed with the knowledge, one who is highly learned, highly literate person. And because the person who is highly knowledgeable, naturally he will be humble. The more you know, the more you come to know of your ignorance also. The more you come to know of your ignorance, the more you will be humble also. So here, the person of knowledge, Vidya Sampannaha, is also Vinaya Sampannaha. The person who is endowed with knowledge, therefore who is also humble. Humility, who is endowed with humility also. Vidya Vinaya Sampannaha. And he is also what? Brahmanaha. So Vidya Vinaya Sampannaha Brahmanaha. So the Brahmana, the mature individual, who is a disciplined individual, who is highly learned, who also endowed with humility, who is humble, in him there is reality. This wise person sees the truth in such a person. Not only in him, Gavi. Go means cow. Locative of go is Gavi. In a cow. Hastini. Hasti is an akaranta pullinga shabdaha. Hasti, hastin shabdaha. Hasti means elephant. Hastini in it's just a locative case. Hastini in an elephant. So in all of them, he sees the truth being located equally in all of them. Located means truth is not located. For want of expression, I'm saying, in the truth, all the truth is one and the same. The essential nature of all the beings is one and the same. So, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavi Hastini in a cow, in an elephant, they're all, ordinary animals. In them, the highly, not ordinary human being, a human being who is a disciplined, learned Brahmana, who is highly humble. Shuni, shwa means dog. Shuni means shunake, in a dog. Okay, in a dog. Then cha and eva, shwapa ke. All the words are in locative case. Shwapa kaha means one who cooks and eats. One who cooks the dog. The dog eater. Pachati. I don't want to begin the vigraha vakyam for that. Okay. Shwapakaha means one who eats dog. Chandala. Means imagine a person, even any meat eater, according to Shastram, a person must be highly gross minded to be able to eat flesh and meat. And this person, we see people when petting, pampering cows, sorry, dogs, but they don't mind eating meat. They don't mind other animal being eaten. But again, Shastram says even Shwapaka means what? Dog eater. Just to say, emphasis is not on dog eater. The grossest minded, insensitive, who cannot even think properly. Very, very, barbaric in nature. Even such a person, even in him, even he essentially the truth. Therefore, all this in a highly learned person, cultured person, evolved person, the person known for knowledge and humility, an ordinary dog eater, the cow in an animal, in elephant, in a dog, in all of them, panditaha samadarshinaha. Wise people see all of them as one and the same Brahman essentially. Essentially, all are one. Even though all are not equal, all are one. This is the fact. Panditaha samadarshinaha. So the wise people see one and the same reality implied by the term Brahman, the Atma, in a highly learned, humble Brahmin, in an elephant, in a dog, in a cow, also in a dog eater. See, the verse, the 17th and 18th verses actually reveal the effect of knowledge, the benefit of knowledge. What does knowledge do? What can knowledge do? What does wisdom do? Wisdom brings about, the spiritual wisdom brings about a perspective change. As a result of perspective change, now, it's not an ordinary change, tremendous change. The change, it changes the whole view of life. It changes one's own life. It is not some change. No, we also change when moods change. No, the changes happen. Not such a simple change which comes and goes. It is unchangeable change. No, non-transformable transformation which happens on the part of a wise person. The person's view of the world changes, view of the self changes. The person's, when he looked at everything as Ishvara, there was a reverence for everything. No, not just the reverence for him, everything is only the truth. All are essentially one and the same reality. The whole creation is reality. Therefore, because of this change, so he sees, he does not see a problem. So Pooja Swamiji used to say, in psychology, there is no solution for the problem. In Vedanta, there is none. There is no problem at all. Means in Vedantic vision, you cannot find a problem. All the problems resolve, disappear. So, in this different perspective, the problems resolve means it is made clear, the fact is made clear. No problem that we experience, we go through, we suffer is caused by the world around us, people around us, our situations, relationships around us. Every small problem, every small suffering we go through is actually, that is how samsara is. Though the problem of all pairs of opposites, all suffering, the human misery is purely because of not being able to see everything correctly. Therefore, for a wise person, everything is Brahma. Dog is Brahma, cat is Brahma, elephant is Brahma, cow is Brahma. Wise person, highly evolved, mature, cultured, civilized individual, a Brahmana, learned, humble person is Brahma. Ordinary dog eater is also Brahma. All are essentially one, even though all are not equal. okay, how outwardly people look, how outwardly beings look, what they are, irrespective of what they are, how they are, all are essentially one and the same. That is made very clear. Which means it is, everything is beautiful, everything is Brahma, only in your, if you have clear vision, you can see Brahman in everything. Everything, if you see Brahman in everything, you see everything in Brahman. So everything is Brahma. So Panditaha Samadarshinaha. So what is that you need for that? That is why Jnanam. Only in Jnanam it is possible.
इहैवतैजितः सर्गः येषां साम्ये स्थितं मनः इहैवतैजितः सर्गः येषां साम्ये स्थितं मनः निर्दोषं हि समं ब्रह्म तस्माद् ब्रह्मणि ते स्थिताः.
I'll read that verse again. Brahma Nirdosham. Important line, word. Brahma Nirdosham. Means the reality is free from all defects, all impurities. Okay. It means reality is here. Reality is pure consciousness, pure existence. Chit Sat. The pure consciousness itself is existence. If you want to know the meaning of the word existence, you cannot find anything else other than consciousness. The meaning of the word existence is consciousness, and consciousness is existence. And it is the actual reality is, has to be understood only in terms of its nature of consciousness existence. For which we have methods. Of course, we use the methods, we arrive at it. I'm not doing that now here. So the consciousness existence, consciousness which itself is existence, is definitely we understood. It is, why it is implied by the term Brahma? Because it is free from all limitations. Why Brahma? All limitations means what? It has no beginning, no end. It is timeless, eternal. It is time-wise limitless. It is all pervasive, is spatially limitless. And there's nothing which is not, which exists outside of Brahma, therefore object-wise limitless. Therefore it is of the nature of limitlessness, Brahma. Fine. This much is understood already. But one more thing Shastram says, this reality, which is free from all limitations, therefore implied with the term Brahma, is free from all differences. Very important verse is what? Free from all differences. Consciousness has no difference. Absolutely, there is no such a thing called difference. We do differentiate. Panditaha, wise person. Brahmanaha, learned, evolved person. No, Shapakaha, ordinary dog eater. A cow. Elephant, animals, a dog, a street dog. We say ordinary. We do differentiate beings, to differentiate human beings. We can't live without differentiating. Differences, are there differences? If you ask, yes, differences are. How real differences are? How real are the differences? It's very difficult for us to, very painful and difficult for us to say differences are not as real as we think. Differences are there only at the relative level. Absolutely, there is no difference. No difference means what? Shastram has analyzed it thoroughly. Shastram talks about threefold differences. Now, what are they? Vijatiya Bhedaha. sajatiya bhedaha, swagata bhedaha. Three, four differences are there. Vijatiya bhedaha, sajatiya bhedaha, swagata bhedaha. Vijatiya bhedaha means, now animal jati is different from plant jati. They complete different, two different jatis. Such difference is there. Animal jati, plant jati, species. The difference the in species. That is called vijatiya bheda. Beings of different species are subject to vijatiya bhedaha. And sajatiya bhedaha, within every given group of a species, one species, beings of one species, there is difference. One cow is different from another cow. Cows are different from elephants. So every being is different from every other being. Every being is different from every other being. A living thing is not different from non-living thing. It's called sajatiya bhedaha. Within a given species, a group of given species, there is difference. Sajatiya bhedaha. Different between two different species, vijatiya bhedaha. So vijatiya bhedaha, sajatiya bhedaha. Then swagata bhedaha. In every being, a living being or a non-living thing, in every being, there is internal differences. If you take your own physical body, you have to say head is different from hands, hands are different from rest of the parts, legs are different from the other parts, thighs are different, feet are different. That's why so many names also. Different names of parts of the body. Even though all these different parts constitute one physical body, there's no body without just only head or without head. Head is part of the body, shoulders are part of the body, hands are part of the body, thighs are part of the body. Feet are part of the body, even though different parts are given different names, they serve different purposes. But still, all of them put together is one human physical body. Like this, within every species, within every being, there are internal differences. It's called swagata bhedaha. So swagata bhedaha, vijatiya bhedaha, sajatiya bhedaha, these threefold possible differences are there. Everything in the world can take, every object, living or non-living thing, living or thing or non-living thing, everything is subject to these threefold differences. Nothing can escape these threefold differences. And Brahman, absolute reality, without which the world cannot exist at all, only because of which the world enjoys the status of being existent, in which the world of plurality, diversity, multiplicity enjoys its existence and shines. All the actions, all the functions, all the activities, all the movements, all the experiences, everything is possible because of that one truth, one reality. That reality is nothing but pure consciousness, which is existence. That reality is free from all three differences. There's no vijatiya bheda. There's a second consciousness. There's a second existence. Therefore, vijatiya bheda is not there, isn't it? For one thing to be different from the other, there must be something other than that. The second thing itself is not there. The second consciousness is not there. Only consciousness, one consciousness, therefore vijatiya bheda is not possible. Because secondless, sajatiya bheda is also not possible. It is one, therefore vijatiya bheda is not there. It is secondless, therefore sajatiya bheda is not possible. Swagata bheda is not possible because it is indivisible, partless whole. Consciousness is one, secondless, indivisible, undivided, partless whole. Therefore, no swagata bheda is also not there. Okay, bhedas are not there. And it is this consciousness which is the truth of everything. What is the cow essentially? Consciousness. What is the dog essentially? Consciousness. Atma. What is the elephant essentially? You know, what is the wave essentially? Big wave, small wave, roaring wave, quiet wave. All the waves are relatively different, but absolutely they're one and the same water. Similarly, all the beings are essentially consciousness. In fact, we have to understand the fact, the toughest thing is, the much tougher fact is understanding Brahman. What is much tougher is understanding the fact that matter is consciousness. The whole world is consciousness. But here, the Panditaha, the person who has clear vision, what the truth is. For him, the truth is the very self. In the light of the knowledge of the self being the truth, he can see everything is essentially the truth. Because there's no form, name, function which enjoys existence outside of, independent of consciousness existence. So everything is essentially the truth. The one who has that clear vision, he is a samadarshi. Samadarshi means one who sees everything as the truth, one who sees the truth equally in everything. And he is essentially as one and the only same truth. He is samadarshi, he is a panditaha. Okay? Now, in this verse, he says, such, if a person has such a vision, one whose mind is endowed with this clear, doubt-free understanding of the truth being Brahman and the truth being one and the same, only, secondless, non-dual reality, Brahman, in the essential nature of everything, whose mind has that clear vision, yesham manaha samye sthitam. Yesham manaha samye sthitam. Those people whose mind remains steadfast in the vision of the sameness of reality. Sameness of reality in everything, in all the beings. Yesham manaha samye sthitam. Samyam, samam means same. Samyam means sameness. Noun form. Samam means same. Samyam means sameness. So, yesham manaha. Yesham is a relative pronoun. Those people whose minds remain steadfast in the vision of the sameness of reality of all the beings. Taihi sargaha ihayeva jittaha. Taihi, by those people, sargaha jitaha. Sargaha. Taihi, by those people, sargaha jitaha. Sargaha means what? Birth. Srishtihi means also creation, birth. Sargaha also means creation, birth. See, Srishtihi is a feminine gender word. Sargaha is a masculine gender word. Sargaha, Srishtihi, same meaning, but gender difference. Sargaha, masculine word. Creation, Sargaha in this context means birth. Creation means birth here. Sargaha iha eva jitaha. Means jitaha literally means as a participle, which means one. literally means one participle, winning one. Sargaha, birth is one, means what? For them, the birth becomes overcome. Birth is overcome. Means they become victorious over their own life. What does it mean? They become free from bondage. Sargaha jitaha means they become free from bondage. For they overcome birth. I mean, birth is overcome by those people. When iha means while living in this life, in this body, mind, sense complex, iha, here itself, they need not go to any other lokas to attain moksha. They need not go to any other place. They need not do anything else. They need not wait for the life to end. No, while living this life, here itself, in this life itself, iha eva, here itself, in this very life, while living it, living this life, they attain, they overcome birth, means birth is overcome by them, means they become free from bondage. Taihi sargaha jitaha. They're victorious over. Which means they will not be born again. Iha eva jitaha means they are successful people, absolutely successful people. For them, life is complete. Life is meaningful. The life has served its purpose. By them, sargaha jitaha, they are absolutely victorious. Shastram calls such people victorious people. Who are victorious? Yaihi yesham manaha samye sthitam. Those people whose minds are steadfast in the vision of the sameness of reality, by them alone birth has been won. Birth has been overcome, which means they're free from bondage. They're absolutely successful, victorious people. They attained jivan mukta, muktihi. They are jivan muktaha. They're free while living this life. So, iha eva taihi sargaha jitaha yesham manaha samye sthitam taihi iha eva sargaha jitaha. Okay. And then, nirdosham hi samam brahma. Brahma, next sentence says, brahma nirdosham. Brahman is free from all impurities, all blemishes. Brahman has no punyam papam. Brahman has no pairs of opposites. The consciousness existence does not have punya papa, does not have doership and jarship, does not have pain and pleasure, does not have pairs of opposites, does not have impurities. Therefore, nirdosham is absolutely defect free. Not only that, this reality is same, samam brahma. There's nothing, all the forms, names and functions, living and non-living things, which constitute the whole universe. In everything, there's no difference in consciousness. Because consciousness is one, secondless, non-dual, one and the same reality, pervades in and through everything, obtaining as the essential nature of every being. Therefore, nirdosham samam. It is defect free. It is free from impurities, all blemishes, all sins, all punya papams, also same. Therefore, because they tasmat brahmani te sthitaha. Brahmani sthitaha. So what? If Brahman is one and the same, Brahman is defect free, Brahman is free from impurities and punya papams, and pairs of opposites, etc. What is so what? Tasmat Brahmani te sthitaha. Therefore, they are established in Brahman. Means for them, they have resolved their identity. Cognitively, they resolve their essence in that reality. They have resolved their identity with that Brahman. Resolve their essence in that Brahman. I'm using two words, okay? They have resolved their identity with the Brahman. They resolve their essence in Brahman. Which means for them, there is no I other than Brahma. There's no Brahman other than I. For I is Brahma. For them, I is Brahma. Between the essential, one's own essential nature is Brahma. And which is free from all impurities. Therefore, they, for them, self is free from all impurities. Self is free from all pairs of opposites. Self is free from all dosha, is free from birth, free from death, free from change, free from maranam, free from old age, free from all defects and attributes of body, mind, sense complex. It's a reality consciousness, even though all the bodies are consciousness, all the sense organs are consciousness, all the minds are thoughts are consciousness. Consciousness is, doesn't have body, mind, sense complex. Consciousness is free from all problems, limitations, attributes of body, mind, sense complex. So consciousness is nirdosham brahma, samam brahma. And people, those people whose minds, whose mind remains established, firm, steadfast in the vision of Brahman as the self, by those people, taihi, by those people, this birth is overcome here itself, in this very life itself. Okay.
इहैवतैर्जितः सर्गः येषां साम्ये स्थितं मनः निर्दोषं हि समं ब्रह्म तस्माद् ब्रह्मणि ते स्थिताः.
As I said, from 13th verse, every verse after verse after verse is a beautiful, important, highly significant verse. See, this verse, the previous verse talked about videha muktihi. This verse talks about jivan muktihi. Now, punaravrittim apunaravrittim gacchanti. We saw the previous verse. They attain videha muktihi. That verse talked about attainment of freedom, you know, after the death. But this verse discusses the freedom, attainment of freedom while living. Jivan muktihi.
Iha eva,
that eva is emphasis. Here itself, the person, you know, really overcomes birth. Which means there is no more samsara for him. He is free while living. So, as however long the parabdha the person has, doesn't matter. And this person can live up with objectivity. Being, the Jivan Muktaha is the one who is objective, absolutely objective in his life. Objectivity means being objective. Being objective means being free. Being free means being free while living. It's called Jivan Muktihi. For him, he is endowed with the body, mind, sense complex. The person who is free while living, the Jivan Muktaha, the wise person who is still living, who still has a body, mind, sense complex. You know, who still has, he can't just, you know, the body will be there as long as Parada is there. He may be eating, drinking and doing other things like any other ignorant person or ordinary other human being. He has to do. He must be fulfilling all his biological, the physical, emotional. He must be fulfilling all the natural, you know, needs. He must be taking care of the natural needs of the body, mind, sense complex. But still he is absolutely objective. He can be objective. So he does not internalize any situations as I, as mine. This has happened for me. Such things will not be there. That is what is freedom. That is what is freedom while living. So he is not afflicted by any external situation. He is not afflicted by any external situation because he does not internalize the situation. This non-internalization of situation is possible only if a person is objective. And objectivity is possible only if a person is endowed with this clear vision. He must have cognitively, you know, resolved his essence in the truth. That's what this verse is emphasizing. Iha eva, he need not wait for the death for moksha to come for him. No, that people have to wait. People think, oh, do I have to wait for moksha to come until, wait for the death? Should I die to attain moksha? No. You need not die to attain moksha. Even if you die, you cannot attain moksha if jnanam is not there. Even at the time of death and after the death, one must attain jnanam to attain freedom. Freedom is moksha. But this person attains jnana while living means if his vision is very clear and he is free, he is jivan muktaha and no external situation will affect him and there cannot be any more emotions bothering him. There cannot be any more emotions. The desires, likes and dislikes, jealousy, hatred, anger, fear, anxiety, these should not, cannot afflict a person because they will all resolve for good. Why they resolve for good? Because they are all caused by the fundamental problem centered on I. Because of this clear vision, because of the clear vision, the fundamental problem being resolved for good, the cause is resolved, therefore the disease is removed for good. Therefore, symptoms of the disease cannot show their face. Cannot be there. They're all of resolved for good. This is called absolute mental purity. That is why it is said, jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha na vidyate. There's nothing which is as purifying as knowledge. Why? Only in jnanam, if the fear, anxiety, jealousy, hatred, anger, all of them will resolve only in jnanam. As long as anything is there, definitely there is some sickness. Fear is, anger is, anxiety is, jealousy is, still likely afflict you, means there is no freedom. So what is the jnana lakshanam? We've already understood second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Siddha Prajna lakshanam was discussed, we already understood, prajahati yada kaman, all these will naturally resolve for a wise person. See, as an ajnani, that's why Shastram tells us, one has to live a life of karma yoga to manage one's emotions, because there's no way of handling them, because we're not creating them. And whereas for a wise person, he does not need to make any effort to manage them. Why? They will not even rise. Even if they're there, he doesn't need to, because he is objective. He is objective towards his own. If you are objective towards your emotions, then there won't be reaction on your part. In objectivity, they just come and go. They cannot affect you, afflict you. Therefore, there won't be hurt and guilt. So you will not be reactive. But a wise person cannot be reactive. Why? Because emotions do not rise. If at all they rise, because of the old thing, and they do not affect the person, that they do not really cause any damage. He's absolutely, this person is objective. And objectivity is what freedom, while living is objectivity. Objectivity is freedom. And this person is, that is the benefit of jnanam. Okay. What's the next? Naprahrishet priyam prap. Again, exactly like what you have understood in the second chapter. I told you long, long ago. Siddha Prajna Lakshanam is understood. Like the same. Again, all these verses are talking very, very highly of wise people. So that indirectly these verses only glorify wisdom, the knowledge only. Na prahrishet priyam prapya. Na prahrishet priyam prapya. No dvijet prapya cha priyam. No dvijet prapya cha priyam. Sthira buddhira sammoodha. Sthira buddhira sammoodha. Brahma vid brahma nisthitaha. Na prahrishet priyam prapya. No dvijet prapya cha priyam. Sthira buddhira sammoodha. Brahma vid brahma nisthitaha. So, it is not repetition. It is a repetition. It's not repetition also. You know why? It is emphasis on the indirect emphasis on the value of knowledge. Because value of knowledge is what? The benefit of knowledge is actually given. It's the glory of knowledge. Because wise person is repeatedly glorified. Brahma vithu. Brahmanisthitaha. Who is Brahma vithu? Brahmanisthitaha. Brahma vithu means one who knows the truth. The knower of reality is Brahma vithu. The knower of that self is Brahma vithu. The knower of one's own real nature is Brahma vithu. Atma vithu is Brahma vithu. The knower of the truth. Brahma vithu. The knower of the truth means what? The truth is not an object of knowledge. The knower of the truth, for the knower of the truth, truth is not an object of knowledge. The truth is the very self. Very truth of the knower. Swarupam of the knower. Okay, for the knower of the truth, truth is not an object, not even, truth is the very swarupam, very nature of this true knower. How? You understand? When I say light is the truth of the illuminator, the truth of the illuminator is light means you have to understand there is no illuminator at all other than the light. If I say, but there is illuminator. From the standpoint of the illumined objects, there is an illuminator. And the truth of the illuminator is light means the swarupam of illuminator is light. Similarly here, from the standpoint of the known world, the standpoint of the known body, the standpoint of the known mind, there is a knower. Otherwise, there is no knower other than the very knowledge, very consciousness. That consciousness, that pure knowledge, is a swarupam of the knower. And here, I, the knower, I for this wise person is the knower. And the knower is the very knowledge. Therefore, I, the self, and the knowledge. The person for whom the self is very knowledge itself. Even though he has the body, he has the mind, he has the sense organs, because he's living as an individual human being, but still this mind has accomplished absolute, that accomplished the greatest thing, what? In terms of knowledge, it has discovered its one's own, the swarupam. The help of the shastram, through the shastra pramanam, this person has understood the truth and he is Brahmavit. And once you discover the Brahma reality, where will you be? Where will you be means what? Where can you identify yourself? What can you identify yourself with? Once the person has discovered the truth, then his identity cannot be shifted from the truth. Once you understand wave is water, can you take the wave away from the water? Before understanding the wave, what is wave? You can say wave is wave. After understanding, wave is water. Similarly, after understanding, I am the truth. You know, then this person, one who remains always in this vision of the self, truth being the self. It's called Brahmanisthitaha. Brahmavit Brahmanisthitaha. Once you attain jnanam, then the wish, then it cannot be changed because it's a fact. You can be ignorant. Once you, if you know, afterwards again, no. I understood I was Brahman. Today again I've gone back. Today I don't think I'm Brahman. I'm a body. No. That change doesn't take place. Once you understood clearly, that because it is a fact, you are Brahman, Tattvamasi is a fact. Once you discover the fact will be everlasting. The one who is endowed with that unchangeable, clear vision, he is said to be remaining in Brahman. Brahmavit Brahmanisthitaha. One who abides in Brahman. Brahmavit, the knower of Brahman, is the one Brahmanisthitaha, one who remains steadfast in the vision of Brahman, one who is established in Brahman, means what? His knowledge cannot be shaken. We're very clear. Unchangeable vision, because the vision is of the fact. The vision is not of the fact, there's not even a vision. Is there some understanding? Wrong understanding can be shaken, but clear, doubt-free vision cannot be shaken. So Brahmavit, knower of Brahman, is Brahmanisthitaha, the one who established in Brahman, firm, steadfast in the vision of Brahman. Such a person, na prahrishet priyam prapya. Not only that, he is sthira buddhihi. Sthira buddhi again means what? He abides in Brahman. He knows Brahman being the self. And sthira buddhi means his knowledge is not shakable, firm, unshakable, ascertained, doubt-free, clear vision. Therefore, sthira buddhi, yasya, sthira buddhi. One whose knowledge is firm. Sthira buddhihi, asammoodaha. How many words Krishna is using here? Not enough, you simply say he is man of clear vision. No. Asammoodaha. He is absolutely undeluded. He is no more deluded. He has discriminative understanding of what is satyam, what is mithya. For him, there's no mithya other than satyam. Okay, all that is there is only Brahma. And I am that Brahman, a clear vision. For him, there's no doubt. Forms, names, functions, everything is mithya. Consciousness, Brahman alone is satyam. He has that clear vision. Therefore, sthira buddhi asam mudaha, doubtless, is no more deluded, absolutely free from delusion. His knowledge is firm and unshakable. He abides in the vision of the truth because he knows the truth as the very self. Brahmavite, Brahman is sthitaha, asam mudaha, sthira buddhihi. So what? Now, Bhagavan says, that is most important. Benefit is said in the first sentence. Priyam prapya na prahrishyet, na prahrishyet, apriyam prapya na udvijet. Okay? Priyam prapya na prahrishyet, apriyam prapya na udvijet. What we do? Okay? Priyam, apriyam. Desirable, undesirable. Pleasant, unpleasant. Situations. Pairs of opposites are inevitable in life. Success, failure. Loss, gain. Victory, defeat. Honor, dishonor. Pleasure, pain. You know, heat and cold. I tell you, pairs of opposites are inevitable in life. For irrespective of whoever the person is, irrespective of how much ever the person is educated, learned, rich, and then cultured and so much. Doesn't matter whoever it is. There's no human being who can escape the life of pairs of opposites. There will be both desirable and undesirable situations in everyone's life. Maybe desirable situation, maybe the proportion may vary from person to person, but pairs of opposites are unavoidable, inevitable in everyone's life. So when desirable situations are there, it is very natural for any human being to feel dejected, depressed, and low. It's very natural for any human being to feel elated and feel high when situations are very pleasant and desirable. Very natural. But whenever we are elated or dejected, we feel high or low, in keeping situations, we are not balanced. We are not balanced means we are not mentally the same. We are not equanimous. We are not the same. We do not entertain the sameness of mind. We always feel we are not balanced. We are not balanced means we are disturbed. We are balanced. We are undisturbed. We are not balanced means we are disturbed. We are restless, we are agitated, we are, disturbed, distracted. And being distracted, being agitated means being restless, means we are not peaceful. We are not peaceful. We are not peaceful means we are burdened. We feel highly burdened. It's a suffocation, suffering. Elation also is a problem. You know that. But we can't help. For some time we feel highly elated. Situations are okay. And we feel very low and dejected. Situations are undesirable. Is called, so with all the emotions, okay, we can never be balanced. That is why Shastram teaches us repeatedly, first qualification you need for jnanam is what? Mental calmness. Mental, no, relatively, one must be balanced. You can't be absolutely balanced. Absolutely being balanced is possible only in jnanam. But until jnanam, you must be relatively balanced. And what can you do for that? That is why Shastram teaches, unless and until you live a life of dharma, live a life of karma yoga, you bring Bhagawan into your life. If you don't have Ishwarpana buddhi, do not have Ishwara prasada buddhi, you do not understand how things are ordained. If you do not live your life enjoined by the Shastram, there is no way of managing your emotions. There is no way of being able to be balanced in life. You will always be restless and agitated. If you want to be peaceful, calm, you must be definitely balanced. And to be balanced, you must, only way is what? Being balanced, remaining balanced, being equanimous means being able to live a life of karma yoga. That's why Shastram teaches us in the beginning that way of life, the discipline, as a discipline. It's not for anything else. It's not a fun. It's a very serious teaching. What choice do we have other than living a life of karma yoga? What choice do we have? No choice, okay? There's no other shortcut method. No shortcut method. It is important. We have to live life of dharma. We have to be conscious of what we are doing. We have to have proper attitude in doing things. We have to understand. That is why Purusharth Nischaya is emphasized. Importance of jnanam is emphasized. The mental preparedness is emphasized. The discipline, karma yoga as a discipline is emphasized. Proper attitude is in doing things, in facing situations is emphasized. That's the only way we can be relatively peaceful, relatively balanced. It is taught. So here, once you attained jnanam, you're talking about the jnani. Jnani does not need to make any effort to be balanced. Wise person is the one who is absolutely balanced. What does it mean? Whatever situations are there externally, this person is not at all dependent on situations anymore for his happiness. Wise person is not dependent on external situation, world, people, relationships, for anything external for his happiness. He's not dependent. Why? Because nothing in the world can make him happy. Nothing in the world needs to make him happy. Why? Because for him, happiness is very swarupam. Because fullness is his very nature. There's no more inadequacy on his, centered on his eye sense. Eye sense itself is resolved in Brahma. The fundamental problem is resolved for good. There's no inadequacy. For him, fullness is there is swarupam. Therefore, in fullness, there's only happiness. So happiness for a wise person is expression, manifestation of fullness is happiness. Happiness is an expression of manifestation of fullness. Therefore, his fullness is very swarupam. The fundamental problem of sense of smallness, inadequacy is still on I being resolved for good. Very essence itself is resolved in Brahman cognitively. Therefore, for him, happiness is the very nature swarupam. He does not depend upon anything external for his happiness. Nothing in the world can make a wise person happy because he is himself happiness. therefore priyam prapya, priyam prapya na prahrishyet. When situations are desirable, favorable, conducive, pleasant, he does not, feel elated. Priyam prapya na prahrishyet. He doesn't get elated. Priyam prapya na prahrishyati. You can say prahrishyati. Krishna has used the verb, the potential mood word, prahrishyet. You can take it as na prahrishyati. For meaning's sake, you can take it as simple present tense verb. Na prahrishyati. He does not rejoice and delight. Because for him, there's no elation on his part. Okay. Apriyam prapya na udvijet. Udvijati means feels dejected. Na udvijati. He does not get dejected. Depressed when situations are unpleasant. Why? Nothing, no external situation can disturb the wise person. Nothing in the world can make him unhappy also. Disturb him. Because he does not get elated. Because he is not dependent on external situation for his happiness. When situations are pleasant. The pleasant situation, desirable situation does not add to his happiness. Does not make him happy. Undesirable, unpleasant situation does not make him unhappy either. Why? Nothing can make him unhappy. See, only if you are dependent on the world for happiness, or only if you think the world is responsible for my unhappiness, then you can have what? You can be unhappy about situation. So nothing in the world can make him unhappy. Nothing in the world can make him happy. Because the unhappiness and happiness, the one can be displeased or pleased only if he is dependent on the world for his happiness, only if he thinks that the world is responsible for his unhappiness. Now, the world is not responsible for his unhappiness. The world cannot make him unhappy. His perspective of the world also has changed. And the world is not a source of happiness. The person is absolutely independent of the world, the people, situations for his happiness. Therefore, unpleasant situation, he is happiness. Pleasant situation, he is happiness. There's only happiness, fullness on his part in all situations. Therefore, he remains absolutely balanced without elation, without dejection. He is absolutely balanced. No external situation causes any dejection. Unpleasant situation does not make him feel depressed. And desirable situation does not make him feel elated. Because he is fullness. He is happiness himself. Therefore, the world cannot disturb him. The external, undesirable, desirable, pleasant, unpleasant situations do not disturb the easiness of a wise person. That is why he is absolutely healthy. Nothing disturbs his easiness. He is free from the disease of being disturbed. So he is balanced, absolutely balanced, because he's steadfast in the vision of the truth. Therefore, he is absolutely disturbed. Undisturbed. Absolutely balanced. Balanced, therefore, he is a person of absolute peace. Absolutely peaceful, because he is absolutely undisturbed, because he is absolutely balanced. No situation can stir or disturb him. Therefore, priyam prapya na prahrishyet, apriyam prapya na udvijet. This is what is Jeevan Muktihi. You want to know what is Jeevan Muktihi? Jeevan Mukta means what people expect. Oh, Jeevan Mukta means doesn't need to eat, doesn't need to sleep, doesn't need to drink, he doesn't need to speak. He had to sit in a corner quietly, doesn't need to go anywhere. Not like that. It's all in your moksha, is in your mind. Where is the moksha? How your mind is. Physically, you must be, any wise person must be doing whatever other person is doing. But internally, he is unafflicted. Moksha is in your mind. If you are undisturbed and your external, it will reflect in your behavior. The undisturbed person's mental condition will reflect in his behavior. Also, to a certain degree. If you are the person who is with you is very disturbed, the disturbed person cannot even appreciate your disturbancelessness. The wise person being undisturbed cannot be appreciated by an ordinary person who is disturbed. You cannot measure. But still you can understand certain magnanimity, bigness and generosity. You can understand. That's a different thing. But what I want to say here, priyam prapya na prahrishi. There's no effort involved. Effortlessly, the person is absolutely undisturbed, balanced person. Priyam prapya na, that's why he is absolutely peaceful. Why? Because he's a person of happiness, a person of fullness. Fullness is his own sarupam, because Atma is the self. Brahman, the reality, is the self. Therefore, his fullness is his sarupam. Therefore, he is absolutely independent of the world for his happiness and security. Therefore, nothing can disturb him. Undesirable also cannot disturb him. Desirable also cannot disturb him. We are disturbed by desirable situation also. Pleasure comes, success comes, victory comes, we feel elated. There's also disturbance. Undesirable situation comes, we feel dejected. Whereas this person is not disturbed by anything, because he is absolutely independent of the world. Because Atma Ramaha, he revels in his own Swarupam. That's why this is, when we are undisturbed, you enjoy this absolute peace as your Swarupam, happiness as your own soul nature. One revels in the vision of one's own self, one's own vision of one's own nature of fullness, is the person who is enjoying the greatest luxury. I always tell this sentence many times. There's no greater luxury than reveling in the vision of one's own real nature being fullness. And he is peaceful. if you're peaceful absolutely, if you're not disturbed, that is Jivan Muktihi. That is Jivan Muktihi. What is Jivan Muktihi? Priyam Prapya Na Udvijati. Apriyam Prapya Na Udvijati. Priyam Prapya Na Prakhrishyati. Now if he's very serious and unhappy person, you know, if he's very balanced. Why? He is Brahmavita, Brahmanisthitaha, Sthira Buddhihi, Asammodaha. Asammodaha, no more delusion. Why? Sthira Buddhihi, his vision is ascertained, doubt-free, clear. Therefore what? He is Brahmavita. So, he remains steadfast in his vision. Brahmanisthiti, he abides in the vision. Brahmavita, Brahmanisthitaha, he sees himself only as Brahma, therefore Brahmanisthitaha. But relatively he is involved in Vyavahara, but he is not dependent on anything. Therefore, in all situations, he remains balanced. Without elation in disabled situation, without dejection in undesirable situation. Okay, this is wise person. Na prahrishet priyam prapya, no dvijet prapya cha priyam, sthira buddhira sammodaha, brahma vid brahma nisthitaha. Okay, I'm going to stop the class. You know one thing, I never prepare my class. And then somehow, I think I should do more verses, but I just enjoy my own class.
Swami, and then I sometimes,
yes.
Oh, finished, Swamiji.
Yeah, tell me, please. Yeah, finished, tell me.
Could I ask you a question, please, Swamiji?
Yeah.
Namaskaram first. I cling to words, some positive words in the Gita.
Yeah.
And in this, I think verse 19, Ihaiva, it strikes me. Because, and I think Bhagwan uses Ihaiva some other place in the Gita. I can't remember exactly. But he
many places he uses, many places comes.
He promises here and now.
Yeah. But
for the majority of people like me, this path is one of intellectual exercise and intellectual reasoning rather than a shift of understanding and realization. So that happened.
See, it has to begin like an intellectual exercise. And repeated listening will convert that into a vision. See, what happens, doctor, when you're listening in the beginning, you are understanding, but still you do not see, when you're not enjoying the benefit of your understanding. That is because, I like this question. You know why? It's not just you, doctor. Everyone asks this question. Especially when the Shastra teaching, even Shastra is properly unfolded, you can't miss it. You do understand the teaching. You are not simply mechanically listening to something what is not clear for you. You understand what is being said, but still you don't seem to be enjoying the benefit of knowledge. Therefore, you mistake it for some intellectual academic pursuit. It doesn't seem to be for you the vision, because it is the one of the problems we have, doctor. It is called habitual error. There's something called habitual error. You know, for janmas, from the time you are born until 70 years or 60 years, 50 years, we live our lives having strong identity with the body. And having strong identity with not only body and all your activities, all your mind, dharma. So much identity, reference is only always to with you, from the standpoint of your body. And suddenly, you are told, Hari Bhagavad Gita, suddenly, in 6 months, 1 year, 2-3 years of study, you are told, repeatedly told, you are the formless, most intangible, subtlest, pure consciousness. Essentially, you are, this is what you are. It is said, it is not easily acceptable. You understand, at the same time, the essence is still sitting only in the body. You find it difficult to drag it. It's a cognitively you have to drag it. It is not physical dragging, isn't it? It is not that easy. Why? Because it has been there for, it takes very long. Very, very long. That is why the same Bhagavad Gita also emphasizes karma yoga, also emphasizes dharma, also emphasizes bhakti, also how to remember Bhagavan all the time. Actually, we'll be seeing soon, even the, when you do the, 8th chapter, you will like it because the Saguna Upasana also is taught there. Saguna Upasana is how to think of Bhagavan all the time, etc. We'll be discussing in 8th chapter. Akshara Brahma Yoga. Krishna himself is going to teach everything slowly. But now he's all in the first, he wants to give us the important lessons here. And then he'll go to Ishvara. He'll bring in Ishvara next six chapters. But because it is very difficult for us to accept that it seems to be a mere intellectual exercise or academic pursuit. Doesn't seem to be for me a spiritual pursuit. I don't seem to be benefiting much from this understand knowledge. I do understand. At the same time, I'm the same person, the same problems. No transformation has come on my part. That question is there for everybody. That is the doubt, daughter. Actually, this is where we'll be very careful. Even if such doubts come, doesn't matter. We should not give up listening continuously. Because lot of shravanam, paunapunyena shravanam, Krishna says, paunapunyena shravanam, listen and listen and listen and listen and listen. That's why satsanga, constant touch with the shastra is important to have the samskara to see, to own what you are listening to. Lot of samskara you need. Your understanding at the same time because don't seem to be enjoying the benefit of what you're understanding. Therefore, the doubt comes. It is natural. It is purely because of our very, very strong rooted essence in the body. That is because, not because, it's also not our problem. It is a natural error, habitual error. Habit of having identity with the body for a long, 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 longest time. And suddenly, in a few months of study, you are asked to see, hey, you are not this means, not that easy. We do appreciate, logically, the teaching does not contradict your reasoning anywhere, doctor. When you are told, the simple kindergarten methodology, first when it is used, subject-object analysis, first of all, to make you understand that to error in your perception, this methodology is important. Leave alone, you are knowing what you are. Even to make you see that there is error in your perception. Methodology helps. You can't say, yes, what is known by me is different from me. I am the knower, different from the known. That you cannot deny the fact. And your body is known to you. It is a fact. You have to say, I am the knower. Body is mine, which is known to me. You have to say that. So nowhere teaching contradicts. And you do accept that. Second thing, not only the body, the sense organs, mind, pranas, everything subtle also. Even that is a big difficult, big thing, big leap. You first only body you think of. Even to differentiate the mind from the body is a big deal. And differentiate the mind and other subtle aspects. Then differentiate you, yourself, from your own mind, another big leap. And having shown you all the differences, and you do accept it. You do see that fact. You can't deny that, yes, mind is known to me. Mind is functional. Mind is, there's three states of mind. You do accept all that. Nowhere teaching contradicts your reasoning. And you are the knower. You can't deny the fact that you are the knower. And here, you are the, even just to say that you are the knower, you are distinct from the known, that itself is a big understanding, big leap for a beginner in the very beginning. Then, that is where you come to know. First of all, you have to accept the fact that you do not know what you are. To accept, to understand that I do not know what I am. You should know first of all that you are distinct from the body mind complex. It is not distant. And that when you are distinguished, what are you? No form. It's a big leap. Not an easy joke. That is why, not it is like a tender, you may imagine there's a delicate, tender creeper. The creeper, like a big trunk of a tree, cannot stand by itself. You need to put some support for a creeper to go on, for support. Otherwise, the creeper will fall. It can't handle. Like a mind, even I sense, the mind cannot just be by itself. It needs something, hold on to something. So the teaching is very subtle. When you are made to see the fact of yourself being distinct from your own body, mind, sense complex as the knower, that itself is the leap. And from there, who this knower is? You are just the knower. But you are blessed with, you are endowed with the body, mind, sense complex. You do not know why this body, how this body, what this is all about, how I got it. Nothing is not known to you. But only now you know, because you have problems in life, and the shastram starts from here. By time you understand this subtle fact, truth, and all your queries will be answered. Who created? No creation, no Ishvara, no beginning, nothing. Understand the truth. Finally, you say all that is, there's only Brahma. Brahma Mukate, Para Brahma Mukate. Finally, you come to that only. But until, doesn't happen overnight. So much of teaching has to go in. One thing that, tell me, some second chapter, third chapter, fourth chapter, now fifth chapter, what is it you are learning newly? Tell me.
You're right. He's emphasizing the same thing again and
again. Because teaching is that, to be frank, one textbook is enough. One tattvabodha is enough. You don't need too much of teaching. I tell you, 1 week of classes are enough. One samskara is there. But shastra, no, even though intellectually sharp and disciplined people also, still we need this different. This is Shravana Samskara. It's called Shravana Samskaraha. Manaha Samskritam Bhavati. Punav Punaha Shravanena. Paunav Punyena Shravanena. By repeated listening, mind becomes refined and refined and refined. Samskritam Manaha. You know, it becomes refined and subtle. The subtler the mind, again, clarity enhances. See, understanding happens, doctor, but clarity does happen, it has to be enhanced. The clarity enhances, see, you understood Vedanta, at the same time not understood. That is where Vedanta will always be. This always repeated listening enhances your clarity. No? And there's a point. And then the vision becomes repeated listening, and then we must be, the mind must, the samskara must be such, we must be able to be only in that. We are not able to be that. We are restless. We do have our own things to distract us in the world. It takes a tremendous amount of strength to be focused and to be in it all the time. At least once a week, Gita class is better than nothing. Something is better than nothing. It's not enough. The Tivra Purushartha Nishchaya. The Tivrata is there. It becomes priority. So that is why we say sometimes, no, when people are not prepared for this and too much of exposure, may suddenly some, they make something wrong. Or that's why we say be enough. If they're very young, have enough. Enough, listen enough. Be in this. No, don't go away from it. Be in this. It's also age, experience, none of our own. A lot of things are there. Samskara. Anyway, understanding does take place. Your question is nice. What we say, why the doubt comes? Because you still, you're not able to enjoy the benefit because of the strong rooted identity of the body. I understand, but can you say, no, yes, I am this? You're not able to see because that needs a lot of contemplation. And for which mind must be prepared. Now, Shravanam. That is why 18 chapters Bhagavan Krishna repeats. And he says, first I talk about you, then I talk about Ishvara, then I say Ishvara and you are essentially one. The whole teaching, Bhagavad Gita takes care of only in establishing oneness of the reality. But Jagat, the Advaita Drishti actually is not totally given. To be frank, he only says what you are, what is the truth of every being, and then how essentially everything is one and the same. Jiva Ishvara Swarupa Aikyam is established here. So then Jiva Ishvara means what? Then Jagat also is then resolved in the same truth. Jagat Brahma Aikyam also is implied. Jiva Brahma Aikyam, Jagat Brahma Aikyam. It is very subtle, doctor, very, very subtle. But for a person to, that is why in India, Bhagavan is always brought into the picture. It is not easy to, for a person to shift from, directly from one's dependence from the world to Brahma, one's own self. Self-dependence is not easy that soon. But we're helplessly world dependent. And Shastram comes in between to take attention from the world to Bhagavan. To shift dependence from the world to Bhagavan. And gradually, from Bhagavan, the dependence upon Bhagavan will help us become independent, self-dependent. That is absolute jnanam. So bhakti upasanam is actually for depending, shifting our dependence from the world to Bhagavan. To make our journey easy. Otherwise it is not very easy. We understand everything very easily. Because samskara, we need manasika samskara. We need to mental refined. Mental refinement is still more needed. We are refined enough to appreciate the teaching, to be inclined for the teaching, to be able to sit in the teaching, to be able to understand the teaching, to like the teaching, be interested in the teaching. That itself needs sort of refinement. The ordinary person won't like the Gita class. They'll feel bored. They'll prefer going to the pub or sitting somewhere and all that. They won't be interested in all these things. It takes a lot of samskara to be interested and inclined. It takes much more good samskara to enjoy the benefit. Then you feel, oh, it is not just academic, it is vision.
Thanks, Swaminiji. Thank you.
So that's why Chaturthi day I was going to say, many years since I've been here, and then it's a big challenge living in this country. And one day I'll meet you in person, I'll tell you. And then I thought, real sannyasa for me. Enough. I feel enough. You know, I'll teach people come to the class, otherwise I won't just be bothered. I'm very quiet myself. And then sometimes I do, for the society's sake, something I have to do. That's the buddhi comes sometimes. Really, sometimes still, no. We should not leave that. We should do something. That thing, I had to really force myself to do something. Why I'm saying all these things, daughter? Just the repeated listening will clarify, enhance the clarity, and you will also enjoy the benefit. So the following Ganesh Chaturthi, the Ganesh Chaturthi is coming, and because we invoke Bhagavan as Vishwaksena, Vinayaka, as remover of obstacles, even in any pursuit, especially for spiritual pursuit also. I want to do a special puja this time. So we will pay for all of us so to make this really effort be effective. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.